Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 40, recorded Friday, December 23rd, 2011. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated sync app link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Social Hour, episode 40 from TWiT World Headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. And Sarah, it's good to see you during the holidays.
Good to see you, too. What are you doing in Halifax, Nova Scotia? I don't think we've ever done this show with you from Nova Scotia before. Have we?
I think you're right. I don't think so. That's a really good point. Well, my brother lives here, and he has twin girls who are almost four, and we decided to come out here for the holidays. And the best part about it is that there was no snow until today. So it's snowing. It's been snowing for 12 hours nonstop, and it's really, really beautiful. So it's great to be here. I do have a bit of, I don't really have a cold, just my throat's kind of a little thrown and a little sore. So I sound somewhat different and maybe better.
You do. You sound fine. You're in a different room, so I think your mic is just a little different than what it usually is when you're at your world headquarters in Toronto. But it sounds just fine. It sounds just fine.
Okay,
you certainly don't seem like you're sick. So if it stays on the inside, I guess that's a good thing. We're having the same problem at my household. MG is like kind of teetering. I think it might be his tactic to get out of going to Christmas dinner with my family in a couple days. We'll see if it starts to mysteriously get a lot worse tomorrow. I'm feeling great. I got a CHP ticket on the way to work this morning, and I said, you know what, I'm so much in the Christmas spirit, I don't even care. I'm ready to get social.
Just plow forward, Sarah.
That's right.
Plow
forward. Exactly. Just one foot in front of the other.
We won't ask any more questions about that, but we have lots of news today. You know, it was funny. I was a little bit worried because sometimes during the holidays, there really isn't that much news. There's not that much happening. But when I was looking online today, there were tons of stories, and, you know, not just holiday stuff and not just stuff about, you know, trends for the new year, but a lot more happening, including this interesting story. And I didn't even know that this Tumblr account existed, but a story in Mashable about Barack Obama and his 2012 Tumblr account for the presidential race next year. They just posted a same-sex kiss to women from the U.S. Navy, and this is causing a lot of commentary in the social media world. I think it's a great thing that, of course, he's supporting this, and it was interesting just to find his Tumblr account and see all of the good content there.
You know, I'm with you. I didn't realize BarackObama.tumblr.com was anything. I wasn't following it on Tumblr. I am now. But this it's interesting. The same-sex kiss, at first I because it's a, you know, kind of an iconic picture, and it's like many sort of soldiers coming home pictures that we've seen over the years. But what's interesting about it is that both of these women are in the Navy. And I guess that it's like a contest, almost like a raffle that happens, I don't know, once a year or at various times of the year, where if you're chosen, you get to be photographed, because it's a really nice photograph, you know, in a loving embrace. And so I want to make sure that I get their names right. It was Petty Officer Second Class Marissa Gaeta, who won the raffle, and then she got to publicly kiss her girlfriend, Petty Officer Third Class Sitalik Snell. And the two of them, you know, they both gave quotes saying, you know, how not only was it a wonderful moment for them, but that they thought that it was, you know, it only furthered the cause, given that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed about a year ago. It's great. Mm-hmm. What a feel-good story.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of positive feedback too. You know, I mentioned before a lot of commentary in the social media world, overwhelmingly positive. You know, people happy that the president has come forward and posted this on his Tumblr blog. And when I was looking into other posts on his Tumblr blog, I was thinking what a great job his team is doing. Clearly, he has the resources to do this in terms of having kind of a behind the scenes view of also President Barack Obama's life. You know, there's a picture of him, I believe, holiday shopping with his dog. And they do a really nice job. I think that's what Tumblr does really well, you know, quick little pictures, a little snippet of text, not much more. You know, kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this Tumblr account it's good. It's listen, whether or not Barack Obama is your the president you want to, it's your choice or not. I mean, look past that for a second. The team is doing a really good job social media wise. They're obviously very active on Twitter. This Tumblr account is great. Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes looking into his life type of a thing, but also questions and answers. Tumblr has a feature where you can ask questions and then the people who run the Tumblr blog, whoever they may be, I assume it's a team and not just Barack himself, especially since they talk about him in the third person. But they do a really good job. They got embedded videos. They've got a whole campaign right now about what $40 means to you, which is the whole payroll tax cut thing that's going on right now in Congress. And it reminds me that I hadn't been to the White House's Flickr account in a while, which is another amazing resource. This went live even before Barack Obama was actually elected president, I believe, or maybe shortly after, although it included pictures of the election before he actually won the election. I mean, some of these pictures are, I mean, they're just gorgeous. They've got interesting little descriptions of what's going on at the time. And what I like about it is it's so precedent setting that any president, you know, eventually, whether it's in 2012 or in another 4 years, there will be another president. And I think that at this point, an administration has to use these tools because they've obviously been so well received. And it helps the president and his administration, I don't know, reach out to people in new ways. And I don't think there's any going back from this. It's great.
Yeah, I think it definitely he set a wonderful precedent in the social media world. I have a really good friend. I don't know if she was on the show before, but her name's Rahaf Harfush. She wrote a book. She had a chance to work on his campaign a few years ago and on the social media side. And it's a really great book. I think it's called Yes, We Did. And it's sort of the social media experience as far as working on Barack Obama's team. So a great story. And she has lots of wonderful experiences from the talented people behind what work he's doing on the web.
Absolutely awesome. White House, you're doing a great job in social media. Thank you for letting us know about the Tumblr account. And same-sex kiss, you know, to many people, this is a kind of controversial thing. It's as if they are, well, I mean, their stance is known, but this is, I mean, there's a statement being made, I think.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And I think it's, a great thing. Next story, this is kind of interesting, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, especially during the holiday season. If you're still getting work emails on your BlackBerry, you don't want to get them anymore, you might want to work in Germany for Volkswagen, who right now is going through the situation with the employees. And they've agreed to stop their BlackBerry servers from sending emails to some of their employees when they're not on shift. I haven't seen anything like this before. Sarah, have you?
No, I haven't. And I can imagine that this is a welcome new turn of events for a lot of people who work at Volkswagen. I mean, I guess the point is that if the work never stops coming in, then you never really are able to separate your private life from your work life. And I would assume a lot of people, especially with families, are very busy or have other hobbies after work. I think this is great. I actually kind of think it's great too, although it's not really anything that I can relate to. I mean, I think in our line of work, we don't keep normal hours. You know, we're working sort of around the clock, or at least, you know, we have our one eye on email at all times. If I had work email turned off when I left Twit each day, I wouldn't be able to do my job.
Oh, I know. I would go insane. I mean, I think that would be a very frustrating experience. You know, I'd be trying to figure out a way that I could break in and kind of get access to my emails. But I guess for some people, you know, at certain companies, if it just becomes a bit of a burden and they really need that separation. I think you're right, Sarah. I mean, clearly because of the industry we work in, we don't feel like, I don't feel like I have this, you know, totally separate life. It's all, you know, in some ways very public and shared through social media services. And I like it that way. But there are lots of people who, when they go home, they want to just shut it off. They don't want to think about work. Maybe they don't want to be getting emails from their bosses. And I'm curious if we'll see more of this in 2012, you know, companies trying to kind of manage email and the expectation from their employees while they're not necessarily there at the office during the office hours.
So under this arrangement, it sounds like servers will stop routing emails 30 minutes before the end of employee shifts and then start again 30 minutes before they return to work. So it's one of these situations where Volkswagen is saying, listen, we don't really think there's anything email related that you need to be doing as long as you're being productive while you're here. And I think for a lot of companies that makes sense. Their employees are not, you know, they don't have a lot of homework per se. They're supposed to get as much done while they're there. And if their performance is good, then there's really no reason that they have to be working after hours. I would say that maybe my first job out of college, I don't even think I had, well, I certainly didn't have a way to check work email when I wasn't at work because we didn't have mobile interfaces and there was no VPN to even log in at home. I mean, that I would say for years, I had no way to check work email. Even when I was working at Tech TV, now that I think about it, there were ways to do it, but nobody really expected you to be answering emails after hours. So this does seem a little dated to me, but I guess for certain industries, it's still important.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd be curious though if people figure out other ways to contact people, you know, around those barriers, because email, you know, as much as it's an important part, I think, of the communication process, there are so many other tools, you know, stuff we talk about every single week and use every single day. So it's not like they're totally cut off, and it'll be interesting to see if they find ways around it. Now, Sarah, when I was going through some links, I was looking through Twitter as always, and I was thinking it would be really fun. I mean, maybe we've done this before, but had sort of a tweet of the week and a message from someone that, you know, really kind of not defined one of the biggest social media news stories over the past week, but something that is memorable. And I stumbled across this tweet from Louis C.K., the comedian, and he had posted, "I'm giving away a bunch of the money I made on the special. Please recommend a charity not in the USA, gave to USA already, that takes PayPal." A bunch of people commenting back. And I guess we should step back and talk about this story because it was everywhere last week.
Yeah, so Louis C.K., who's a comedian, he has a show. I think it's on FX. Is that right? Yes. Thank you, Ayaz. He had a special live at the Beacon Theater. It's a comedy, kind of like a stand-up comedy thing. He's a successful guy. You know, he's obviously well-respected in the comic world and the TV world. And decided, you know what? I'm going to release it online. $5 and it's all yours. Well, it was wildly successful, not only because people like him, but because they liked this tactic. And he raised, $1 million in, 12 or so days? I mean, and this was not only because people like the guy, but word spread. $5 isn't that much to get something that, you know, you'd pay for on something like pay-per-view for maybe twice or three times that. And there was a lot of really good feedback online. I saw, you know, a lot of people not only saying that they bought it, but just sharing the link. It was definitely sort of a viral campaign. And he came back and said, "I made $1 million and I don't need this $1 million. This is not money for me. This was money for all of us." It's kind of like he called it project money. It was the money. And I don't need $1 million. That was not my intention, is to get $1 million for myself. I want to give it away to charity. And what's cool about it is that he didn't just say, okay, well, I'll give it to the, you know, insert charity here. He went back to Twitter to try to figure out what were some non-US, because he already donated to some US charities, that he could get involved with. And he got a bunch of different answers.
Yeah, lots of great feedback from people. And if you read a little bit further into the Mashable article, I've seen different numbers, but there's talk that he wanted to give away at least $250,000, which is a huge percentage of what he actually made. Also, he wanted to give a large chunk back to people who worked on this project and other employees, and only taking about $200,000 for himself. And I think it's kind of, you know, in some ways, it's almost like what I imagine sort of the perfect model for business in the internet world. You know, normally if you were to, like, he's worked in television forever, if you were to push a show through a television station, like he's mentioned before, including on a report on NPR, he doesn't really see a lot of that money. He has no control over what's being done with the profits. I think, you know, to see him experiment like this, it's I think it sets a great precedent for content creators on the web.
I agree. Knox Harrington in chat says, I like how transparent he's being. He even posted an actual screenshot of his PayPal account, which
wow.
he did. Yeah, if you go to buy.louisck.net/news, that's the news tab of his website. He made just over $1 million, U.S. dollars, and then wrote a blog post breaking it down, where all that money is going. He says, first $250K is going back with the special cost to produce the website to build. The second $250K is going to my staff, people who work for me. They're getting fat bonuses. That's awesome. The third $280K is going to a few different charities. He's listed the charities below: Kiva, Charity Water, Green Chimneys, a couple others. He said, some of them I learned through friends. Some were recommended on Twitter. And then he says, the last $220K is for me. He's got a family. He's got kids. So he says, you know, this is what I'm taking for myself. A little minority stake in the project. Sure makes him look like a great guy who did the right thing here. I think you're right. It is a precedent being set. You don't see a lot of this, at least as much transparency with projects like this, even projects where artists say, you know, I'm going to take it online. I'm going to sell my album for a dollar type of a thing, you know, rather than go through the traditional studio method. But this is new, and, you know, kudos to him. That's a really great deal, especially with all that money.
And you have more and more people are just talking about him now. You know, it's sort of a win-win all around, right? I think as much as he was popular before, I think it really has, you know, kind of taken him up a notch as far as with the mainstream world, because so many people are talking about this. So congratulations to him. Maybe he'll come on the show, Sarah. He would be a good guest.
Yes. Well, we'll get him next week, maybe. Someone in chat says, oh, this sounds like just marketing to me. And you know what? It is. It's really good marketing. I mean, the thing is,
Hey,
you want great PR for yourself? Do something great. That's, you know, exactly. It's a win-win thing. I don't really care where the drive comes from to do something like this, but a bunch of people who are in need end up getting badly needed money. So it's good marketing. More companies should do this kind of marketing. All right, Amber, quick reminder. I don't need to remind you, but we'll remind the audience, rather, that we record the Social Hour live, usually on Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Of course, anybody who's watching the live stream now knows that we are recording at a different time completely. It's the Friday before Monday the 26th, because our TWIT offices are closed. We're closed most of next week, doing a few shows, but not that many, but certainly closed on Monday. So we wanted to make sure that we get the show in before the Christmas holiday. Our website is twit.tv/TSH. So if you're wondering, well, you know, this is a good show. I'm enjoying it. I like episode 40. But what happened on episode 35? You know, that was back in November. Or, you know, episode 27 even. You know, 40 episodes in. Sarah and Amber are over the hill. What were they talking about when they were just spring chickens, you know, in the teens? Episode 19, for
example.
Those
were the good old days.
Even back in the cottage, you know, this show started when I was still running the board back in the cottage. Ah, it was so stressful. That's where you can find all of this stuff. twit.tv/TSH is all of our show archives, all of the show notes, all the links that we talk about, links to guests that we've had, their websites, so on and so forth. That's all there, and good subscribe links too. So if you want to start subscribing to our video feeds, our audio feeds, get our shows downloaded in iTunes so you don't even have to worry about it, that's all there too. And of course, you can email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. All right, Amber, before we get into some of the news that happened in the last week of social, let's kick it over to Leo with a little information about a little company we like to call Ford.
Hey, Leo Laporte, Brick Twit House, and once again, I want to show you the cool stuff Ford is doing in their new vehicles. This is the 2012 Ford Fiesta. Very affordable car with great features, including the Ford Sync. I want to show you how Sync now can use mobile apps on your phone, like Pandora, Stitcher to listen to iPods, Pandora to listen to music, OpenBeak to listen to tweets, and they just added Slacker Radio, too. It's pretty amazing. First, let's get in the car. Almost everything you do with this Ford Sync, you do with your voice. And, you know, I kind of like that. So here's the Ford Sync button here on the turn signal. Let's turn the car on, and I'll show you how it works. Let's have Pandora running. I'm going to connect this to the USB connector. Notice USB connector right here. I'm using the standard iPhone cable. That's great because it's also charging the phone while I'm listening to it. I can just keep it here, make phone calls. And I do it all with my hands on the wheel, my eyes on the road. Just press this button.
Mobile apps, please say a command.
Pandora. So now my Pandora is connected, and I can listen to a station. Let's say I'll play a station, Lady Gaga. How about that?
Pandora, please say a command.
Play station Lady Gaga. So now I'm listening to Lady Gaga. This is great because it means as I'm driving along, I can listen to songs that I love from artists that I love. I can even create new stations. If I don't like a song that's playing, I can thumbs down it. If I like it, I can thumbs up. In fact, let's do a thumbs up right now.
Pandora, please say a command.
Thumbs up. Thumbed up. How about skip?
Pandora, please say a command.
Skip. All right, now we're rocking. This is all streaming in via 3G. So I could be just driving down the road listening to great radio. If I want more information about a song or I want to buy a song, I can tell it. I can create new stations. So the beauty of this is I don't have to take my eyes off the road. I know it's on the display there, but I don't have to. I just drive along and I can say, well, what was that song? And it will tell me. I just love that. So you can see how easy it is. You can listen to podcasts using Stitcher. You can listen to music using Pandora. You can even have your tweets read to you with OpenBeak. That's the sync with the new app link. More and more apps all the time, which means more capabilities from Ford Sync. And you don't have to do anything. As long as you got the apps on your phone, that's all you need. Pretty cool. Drive one today at a Ford dealer near you.
Why, thank you, Leo. Ford.com/technology. Thanks so much to Ford for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. And now on to something that I know is going to ruffle some feathers. Because,
oh,
Amber, you are a Google Plus lover, as am I, as are many of the people who watch our show, listen to our show, and interact with us on Google Plus. However, TechCrunch article came out yesterday. Headline, actually, searches for Google Plus are petering out, meaning that people, it's the intent of wanting to get to Google Plus is on the decline. What's your initial reaction here? Because I know some people's reactions are like, oh, be nice to Google Plus. Come on. You know, it's still a new social network. They're still trying to figure out their way. But I don't know. I think they're kind of, the honeymoon period's over.
I think, you know, so many people kind of want Google Plus to fail. I really think that, you know, especially in the tech world, I think there's a lot of people who think, you know what, Google's come out with services that are somewhat social before. And this one in particular, I think people want to always talk about how it's kind of activities kind of tapering off a little bit. I think personally that with Google Plus, what we're going to see is that it's going to continue to grow. I think the growth may be a little bit slower, but I think at the end of the day, I think it will be a very powerful social network because of Google being behind it and because of, you know, the search integration and all those types of things. So, you know, even if the average person maybe isn't searching as much for Google Plus and it's kind of declined in that respect, I really, you know, I think people should just give up as far as, you know, trying to talk so much about Google Plus failing, because personally, I just don't see it happening. I may regret saying that, but I think that they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Google Plus is going anywhere. I don't think they're in danger of shutting down or anything like that. I think it's a combination of factors. Earlier in the year, Google Plus was closed. It was in closed beta, and that's always turns into a really hot ticket because everybody wants to be part of something that is exclusive. So, you know, I mean, I got emails every day of people asking me to invite them to Google Plus, even when I didn't have any invites. I mean, it was a really big deal. Okay. Then after a certain point, a lot of people had access, and then they opened up to everybody. To anybody who didn't have an account by then could get one. And so I see where the frenzy in general would just, that was what petered out. I mean, that's inevitable. I don't necessarily think that it means that Google Plus is any less interesting. It's only gotten better. They have rolled out a lot of updates and fixes, maybe not as quickly as I would have liked in certain cases, but it's definitely a better product than it was when it first launched. You know, the product that I first got into and really liked is better. So, you know, they're not really doing anything wrong. I just think Google Plus has exactly the same issues that all other social networks have, where people only have a limited amount of time, and when you only have 10 minutes to kind of catch up on everything, where are you going to go? Right now, for me, that's still Twitter, if I have to choose. And Google Plus isn't even my second. That would be Facebook. So that's an issue I think that they have. But, there are people who say, well, no, Google Plus is absolutely the first place that I go. And there's still a lot of those people. I think, Amber, my issue with Google Plus is something that actually got me really turned off to FormSpring is that there are so many people on the service who were speaking different languages. So there's a real sort of weird barrier with a lot of my comments where I'm not sure if it's spam or lost in translation. And then there is a lot of spam, actual, just like...
Yeah, there is.
Actual, absolutely. You know, I'm flagging it for spam. I'm doing my part. But there's more and more of it as more and more people get onto the service. And that is an issue because people hate spam. I mean, it would be like if there weren't good spam filters in email. I mean, I would just stop using it after a while. Fortunately, at least for Gmail, I see very little spam. So it's not an issue. But they've got to figure that out for Google Plus too because people just will not put up with that.
Oh, I know. I mean, I think I posted something a couple of weeks ago and literally, you know, there were a couple dozen comments and most of the comments that, you know, absolutely made no sense whatsoever. So I think that is an issue. I think with Google Plus too, what I see happening with the service is that I don't think Google Plus is going to, you know, continue to always kind of look the same and act the same. And what I mean by that is if you look at Twitter over the past few years, I mean, it really hasn't changed that much. The experience is pretty simple, 140 characters. Mm-hmm. If you use the web interface, you know, it hasn't really changed that much at all, even though they tweak the redesign here and there. But I think with Google Plus, I think they'll be much more flexible as far as kind of changing the service as they see some of their users demand different things. And I think it's so important for Google to have a strong foothold in the social media world and the social networking world that I think they're just going to make this work. And, you know, I think they're going to try pretty hard before giving up.
Yeah, I do too. It's a great service. It's a great service. I think there's a bit of a learning curve. I think something that Twitter has going for it is that the experience, although they have changed the UI quite a bit from the early days, the experience itself is the same it has always been. It's easy for people to explain it to others. Google Plus circles and it's more complicated. It's obviously just it's a closer service to something like Facebook than Twitter. But yeah. Facebook's hard to describe too. I mean, so many of us are on Facebook. We're like, yeah. There are little things here and there, but it's like if somebody was sitting down in front of Facebook for the first time, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of different services acting different ways. Like, I'm the same way as far as Twitter. If I only have a few minutes, I'll check on Twitter. Google Plus, I don't sit on Google Plus and kind of read it like I read Twitter. I may check in once or twice a day, so my experience there is different. And then my experience on Facebook is also different. The same thing with Path, you know? So I think we start to use all of these things kind of differently, and I don't know if you can necessarily compare them all that much. Continuing to talk about social, Sarah, I stumbled across this article that talked about SlideShare, and I'm a big fan of SlideShare. So many great presentations that have been put up there for free for people to enjoy, to learn from, and I thought this would be great for our social tip. seven ways that businesses can get more social with SlideShare in terms of doing everything from telling your story to sharing internal presentations or information as well.
Yeah, I think this is great. I'm not actually familiar with SlideShare, though. So, Amber, how have you become familiar with SlideShare, and why am I not on the bandwagon here? Why haven't I heard of it?
Whoa.
I know.
Sarah, I'm just there. I'm coughing because I have a bit of a cold, but also I'm coughing because I can't believe that you don't use SlideShare because you're usually using all these services. It's really simple. Basically, a place where people can upload and share presentations. So lots of great content there.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's say, sorry, you all of a sudden are sounding kind of sick.
I know, sorry.
I hope it's not the show making you worse. So, for example, we're scrolling through the Mashable article about this. This is, if you, let's say, okay, so Amber, you do a lot of public speaking. Is SlideShare something that you would incorporate? Let's say you had a really successful talk. You had 10 slides that were illustrating how people can help leverage their brand on social media better, just for example. Is that something that then you could upload to SlideShare and say, listen, here's, if you enjoyed my talk, here's a little bit more about what I showed. Is it like a Creative Commons thing? Are people free to use the slides for other presentations?
I think it's sort of commonplace that you don't actually use the slides, but instead you just share the information. So I've seen professional speakers before actually upload their presentation even before they go on stage. So allowing people to access resources like links and slides and any type of diagrams that they've done. It's almost like if you look at SlideShare, it's almost like a Wikipedia type of site for a variety of different presentations. So a really handy service. And I haven't really thought of it in respects to within a business, how you could share socially within SlideShare. So it's a great way, again, when we talk about transparency within companies, it's a great way. They have one example here where they talk about using SlideShare highlight some things happening within your company, focusing on your experts, putting presentations up, just a different format to be able to share content and information.
That's great. Well, slideshare.net is the URL to go straight to SlideShare if you're like me and are completely out of the loop and didn't realize that people were doing this. But yeah, I love that. I love that. It's it's just a good way, especially to, you know, crowdsource people's ideas. And I like the idea of because I'm sort of terrified of public speaking. In front of actual people, cameras don't bother me. And if I had some sort of a presentation that I thought was pretty good, I could see what, you know, just give me some feedback. Does this look like I know what I'm talking about, or do these numbers add up to you? I would like to have that feedback beforehand. So I think SlideShare would be great for me for that. If I ever get the confidence to get up on stage.
If you think about it too, if you're ever going to see someone speak, it's really frustrating when they're mentioning all of these different things. And as much as you want to take notes and try to write everything down, you just can't really keep up with the pace. So I think it serves a really good purpose for that, to be able to then kind of store your information somewhere. So it's totally accessible to everybody.
All right, let's move on. This is a spotlight, actually, Amber, that you added in to our lineup called Dear Inventor. What, pray tell, could this be?
This is kind of fun. So if you are on Twitter a lot like we are, I've seen this before. And this particular blogger, David Friedman, had written a post called Dear Inventor, talking about when individuals on Twitter basically thank or mentioned inventors who are sort of unnamed inventors, people who you don't really know. For example, the first tweet that he mentions is, "Dear the inventor of the stiletto platform heel, what did women ever do to you?" So basically, you know, calling out inventors of certain things that aren't necessarily known as far as who created them.
I love this. This is great. You know, okay, so I always have these really stupid ideas for putting together a Tumblr blog or something, and I never follow through with them because, I don't know, I always find a reason not to. But one of the things, I love this because one of the things that kind of bothers me that people do on Twitter all the time is they say, "Dear so-and-so," as if, you know, they're writing a personal letter. It'd be like, Dear Amber Mac, I wish that you wouldn't cough during the social hour. You know, that sort of, it's very like a passive aggressive tweet thing. Something happens on Twitter quite a bit. And it's sometimes it's kind of funny or cute, but it's totally overused. But I like this because it's sort of that, it's that dear so-and-so done right, because you're obviously knowing that you're not going to be talking to, like, who invented the stiletto. That's not really the point.
Yeah.
The point is that stilettos are mean to women's feet, and we can all sort of get a chuckle out of that. This is the dear inventor done right. I love this.
It is, you know, dear inventor of leggings, thank you for your wonderful contribution to mankind. Love every man ever. So just people having fun with things like this. And I guess you don't really think a lot about who's created these certain things. So the list goes on and on and on. So I think we'll hopefully see a little bit more of that. I mean, it's endless as far as the things that you could write in this context and sort of using this the beginning of the, you know, like you said, like almost like a letter.
Yeah. Dear inventor of imaginary numbers, I hate you. Sincerely, an irritated Algebra 2 student.
So funny.
Dear inventor of power school, you have officially ruined my life. I don't even get that one. What's a power school?
I have no idea.
I won't even try to. I love this. Dear inventor of homework, you should be shot. Love me.
It's
great.
So funny.
Very good.
Yeah, because some of them are not necessarily safe for the podcast community, but you can go check them out on this particular blogger's website.
IronicSans.com. Look for the Dear Inventor category. That's great.
It's a good one. And Sarah, I have to say, like, even though I'm having sort of I just had a cough attack. I don't want to sneeze during this particular episode. I'm trying not to sneeze because I know the videos keep coming and the montages, they never end.
It's true. We had, I think her name was Sarah. It was Sarah something. I don't remember now. She had sent in an Amber sneeze montage. We ended up not showing on the show because a lot of the sneezes are, it was sort of a remix
yes,
of
we've seen some of them before.
Former Amber sneezes. The best part is that at least in three of the clips, anybody who's like, what are they talking about? Amber sneezes a lot on The Social Hour, and before The Social Hour was in existence, she sneezed a lot on Ed at Night too with Leo. And there's a few clips of the two of us where, I mean, you're like clearly on camera trying not to sneeze, and I'm just like, blah, 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 totally oblivious, not even noticing.
I know. It's so funny. So I have not sneezed. I may have coughed, but I have not sneezed. I'm very self-conscious now about you know, my nasal experiences on The Social Hour. So
well,
let's move on.
I appreciate you feeling comfortable enough to share with the rest of us. So thank you, everybody who sends in Amber sneeze videos. You know, maybe in the blooper reel, we'll add that. We did get an email from Laura, who apparently, Amber, you know. She says, hey, Amber and Sarah, full disclosure, I co-host Command N TV with Amber. So just feel free to mention the site I'm about to mention without mentioning me if it seems like a conflict of interest. I don't think it does. Who is Laura?
So about, I guess, earlier this year in the summer, we were started to shoot Command N. We were getting up, you know, beyond our 200th episode.
Wow.
And we kind of mixed up the format a little bit. And so it's me, as well as my brother. And then Laura came into the mix. She's also living in Halifax, and she does segments with my brother from Halifax. So my brother kind of has a co-host here. And she's really tuned into the social media world. She used to do a podcast, an audio podcast for a while. And she's always on top of the latest trends and very involved in Google Plus as well. I didn't even know she sent this email. So it's kind of fun to include it in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, I don't think it's a conflict of interest at all. I think we all have very similar interests, in fact. So she goes on to say, have either of you tried graybox.co yet? So that's GREYBOX.co. She says, it seems like an attractive way to categorize shared articles found online, see the inspiration filter category, and start a dialogue about what you're reading. But the community is still in early phases. There's not a ton of content there yet. I've been in touch with the support staff. They're very responsive to ask why it's not possible to tell when a shared article was originally published. So that's something that Laura finds lacking. Mature content is mixed in with very fresh stuff, while I'd prefer to filter by date recent content if possible. She loves the show, so thank you. Well, I this is the first that I've seen of Greybox. And I spent some time clicking around, and I like the look of it. To me, this sort of seems somewhere between almost like a dig and a delicious. It looks really nice. I like the categories. They're very simple and clear. Technology versus literature. If I click on the inspiration link, I do actually like this. We're looking at my screen here. Thank you, Jeff. These are, you know, stories that I might possibly be inspired by. If I am Chasing Dreams, for example, I can go ahead and reshare. That's pretty easy. I have to log in. I logged in on a different machine, not this one. This is neat. This is I love stuff like this because sometimes these websites are how I find sort of random content for something like the Social Hour, for example. I'm just not sure how much this stands out compared to other inspiring articles that are categorized. Amber, does this stand out to you?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is that, I don't know about you, Sarah, but I often get sick of going to the same services over and over again to find content. You know, I feel like you'll have two or three sites, and then after a few weeks, I just feel I'm tired of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to see something new. And even when I was clicking through this, actually, I didn't go to the inspiration section. I went right to the geek section, and I found a lot of neat things in there, including just this quick little image of Star Wars snowflakes, which is kind of fun. Basically, snowflakes created out of Star Wars characters. They've been drawn by an individual, and a lot of content that I haven't seen in my social streams. So, you know, you're looking on Twitter, you're looking on Facebook or Google Plus, I see the same thing posted all the time. And this is kind of outside the box. So I enjoy that part of the experience.
Yeah, I agree. I think these sites are great for exactly what you said. Get just a little bit of a new, not even new group of stories, because sometimes there's just going to be overlap. I mean, I see Boing Boing stories here on Greybox. It's like, or I could go to Boing Boing directly, but just a different design. Something that looks different. You could add it to your RSS reader, and that would be obviously, you know, strip out the way that the page looks. But I actually kind of like going to the pages themselves because I like to see something a little bit different. So it seems like at the very least, it's something to add to a variety of places that I check for new interesting content, certainly geeky technology stuff. But even just kind of random, I'd like to read for a while. I've got an hour to kill. I don't know where to go. I'm sick of Twitter, you know, that type of thing. So,
well, actually, I just stumbled across this article. I just found it. I don't know what section it's in. I think it's in technology. And I have to read this later. I don't want to read it or go into it too much because I'll get distracted. But it says, "Hello, Giggles, an open letter to people who leave voicemail." So I can't wait to see what that is all about because... not a big fan of voicemail over here, Sarah. I don't know about you.
I am not a big fan of voicemail at all. I don't even think my life would be that disrupted if I got rid of my phone entirely. I mean, I still need data. I still need texting, although I could do a majority of my texting over something like Facebook Messenger at this point. But I really don't use my phone very often. I wouldn't get rid of my phone for emergency purposes, but I hate voicemail. You're away and you're like, oh, I missed a call and there's a voicemail. All right. I don't know why it's become that way. It's just,
it just is.
And here's why it bothers me so much is it takes several more steps to listen to what could have been written out, usually in a text. And I'm guilty of this too. When I leave a voicemail, it's like it goes on and on. And I do things like, anyway, give me a call back when you get the... It's like none of that. We don't need any of that.
I know. You know, it's not really an effective way to communicate.
Exactly. It really is. Very outdated.
It's kind of funny though, because I don't know if you have any friends like this, but I have a really, really close girlfriend, and she is famous for calling me. She leaves me voicemails, and this is exactly what they say. Hey, Amber. And then I won't say her name, but she says, hi. So could you give me a call back? I have something to tell you. And I'm like, no.
Don't do that to me. Like, just tell me or email me. And right. usually it's like, you know, there's a sale on at blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like something really small, but she leaves those voicemails that are no information whatsoever. Like, they're total teases. And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's sort of like, if you didn't reach me and you're not going to tell me via voicemail, maybe just don't leave the voicemail. Because then you start being like, well, what's going on? Try to call back. Is everything okay? Yeah, there's a sale at the shoe store that you like so much type of thing. Ah, voicemail.
Too funny. Anyway, thank you so much for sending that in, Laura. I know she listens to the show on a regular basis. So,
thank you so much, Laura. hope to meet you at some point.
Yes.
And keep kicking ass on Command N. All right. Before we get into Rad or Fad, I want to remind you that you have a variety of ways that you can get a hold of us. Already mentioned, thesocialhour@twit.tv is our email address. You can also leave us a voicemail. Google Voice number is 2626-SOCIAL. That's 2626-SOCIAL. Or you can always, and we haven't gotten one of these in a while, record a video, try to keep it nice and succinct, 30 seconds or less is sort of the magic number. Upload it somewhere, YouTube, Vimeo, somewhere else that you can send us a link. Send us a link via email, and we'll try to play your video in an upcoming episode of The Social Hour. All right, and before Sarah, go ahead.
Sorry, I have to say, though, because we just said we hated voicemails and then went into reading our voicemail number.
Okay. That's a very good
point. We love your voicemails, all of you.
As it pertains to a show like this, voicemails are great because they are on topic. You know, you have something to say, or you have a question, or you have an idea or a comment. Personal voicemails, that's a whole different thing. Yes, I'm glad that you pointed that out. I'm glad that you, because I was like, why is she laughing? Our voicemail number hasn't changed. It's always been 2626-SOCIAL.
Like, voicemail. So leave us a voicemail. So we love your voicemails. So keep them coming. Keep them short.
Absolutely. All right, before we get into Rad or Fad, want to thank Netflix. They're our second sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. There's a very good chance that you're already a Netflix subscriber because you listen to Twit or you watch Twit, and so that's the kind of person that you are. But for whatever reason, you're still not on the Netflix bandwagon, I have to tell you, it is the best way to watch instant streaming movies, TV series, TV shows, old movies, old classics, new releases. Netflix instant streaming queue used to be kind of the stepchild of their DVD service. There were a lot fewer movies that you could choose from. It was a cool service, but it was still kind of gaining ground. I mean, now it is absolutely the way that I enjoy Netflix content by far. What's great about it is that not only can you watch Netflix movies and series and shows a variety of ways through your iPad, your Mac or PC, your Xbox 360, your Roku box, your Apple TV, and so on and so forth. But you have the option to start a movie in one place, hit pause, you know, pick it up later. And let's face it, we're all busy people and we access content from all sorts of different ways these days. You know, you might want to watch a movie on your Android device while you're taking a walk type of thing, but you're not going to get through a whole movie. And so you finish it when you're at the gym later. I actually started describing my own life, except for the Android device, because I don't have any of those. But that's the great thing about Netflix. Now, here's the deal. Go to netflix.com/twit, sign up for the service, and you get 30 days free. So it's really a way to try it out before you even make any sort of commitment to Netflix, which is absolutely what you should do. So if you're not sold, go ahead, netflix.com/twit. You answer some very basic information, a name, email address, and you can watch as many shows, as many movies, as many everything that Netflix offers within that 30 days without paying a dime. It's an awesome offer that you should absolutely take advantage of. And if you already have Netflix, then tell a friend, give them our URL so that Netflix knows that we sent them there. And it's like a gift that you don't actually have to pay for. And everyone knows that money's tight this holiday season. Give somebody a gift of 30 days of content for free. Thanks again to Netflix for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. And again, that's netflix.com/twit. And now, Amber, this is your last Rad or Fad of 2011.
Oh.
Pressure's
on. It's a good one.
Good.
It's a good one.
Good.
Okay, so there are probably some people out there who have heard of this particular phone before. It's a collaboration between LG and Prada, yes, the high-end fashion designer. So this is a Prada phone, and this is a new version of the phone that I read about on Shiny Shiny. It runs on Android. The phone itself is it looks kind of like an LG phone. Of course, it's branded as Prada, maybe a little sleeker, if I can say that, than some of the other phones that I've seen from LG. And the reason I wanted to put this in Rad or Fat is because I was at a conference recently and I was on a panel with this well-known technology reporter, and I had a sort of mini argument with him about he was saying that he thinks a lot of brands are going to start develop their own cell phones or smartphones, and I was saying how ridiculous that was, and it just didn't make sense because they couldn't possibly keep up with, you know, the ongoing demand for new features and functionality from consumers. And so I'm going to throw the Prada phone into the category of fad, super, super fast, super fast. What do you think, Sarah?
I agree with you. I don't really see what's cool about this besides the fact that it says Prada all over it.
Yeah.
And I mean, who wants that? Well, okay, I know people want that because you see Prada knockoffs on the street all the time. But I've never really understood this. Okay, you've got a black t-shirt. Looks like any old black t-shirt. Maybe it's very comfortable. That's great. But it says something like, and I'm not just singling out Prada, it's all sorts of brands, you know, are guilty of this. It says that across the front, and automatically I'm like, well, now the t-shirt is less cool because you're like a walking advertisement. I don't get it.
I know.
Or maybe you love Prada. That's fine. You know, so you've got a handbag, that kind of thing. It's like, okay, I can't afford Prada stuff, so it's not going to be me. But I have no problem with the brand itself. I just have no idea why logos belong all over a cell phone. I mean, I don't even really like, you know, seeing what carrier I'm on my iPhone screen. It'd be nice if I could hide that. I can't, but okay.
It would be good.
I don't get why this would be cool unless you're trying to brag that you can afford a phone that other people can't afford. I mean, I guess it's sort of like a blinged out phone, you know, some sort of a limited edition LG phone. You know, it has Swarovski crystals across it. Same idea.
Yeah.
This escapes me why anybody would want this.
I know. I think it's also strange, you know, like if you look at Prada or anyone else in the fashion world, you know, what they obviously do well is create clothing and or purses or accessories. And I just think with technology, because it really, you know, it's a different skill set. And even though they've teamed up with someone else, I don't want to see Prada or any other designers kind of intersect with the technology and my technology devices. I want someone who's really good at creating that technology. So I think it just is such a fad, again, just to kind of get attention. However, I will say I'm curious because of the popularity of technology and social media being used at fashion shows and so many fashion bloggers who've become so well-known online, if maybe they're catering to that market. And I don't know. I looked up the price of these phones, like, you know, for previous versions, and you can find them online for like $100 now. So I wonder if you know, they just kind of died off. But I don't think this is a trend that's going to continue into 2012. I don't think we're going to be seeing this all over the place. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense to me either. Nothing wrong with the phone. The phone itself is fine. But I see myself saying, if only that Prada logo wasn't on the back, then I'd really like it. So then, you know, you know you're in fad category when I'm liking everything except Prada all over it. Prada.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird word anyway. Prada. So, yes, thank you for the last fad of 2011. Amber.
Yes, it had to be a fad. And then hopefully we'll go into 2012. And actually, maybe a good thing for people to leave us voicemails about or emails or recording videos about, because when we come back, it will be the new year, to talk about what trends and services and sites you think are going to be really hot for 2012. So you guys could send us some of that information and we could share it on our next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are afraid of us, Amber, because we don't get the kind of voicemails and videos that some of the other shows see. So we're obviously we're intimidating people. And so maybe to help ease everyone's mind, we can say, send us Rad or Fad voicemail ideas. You have more of a reason, more of an incentive, or a video, of course. Videos are extra appreciated, but call in. We want to hear your voice. We want to see your smiling face.
We're not very controversial either, Sarah. You know, I think it comes down to that too. It's like, I think with Sarah and I, you know, we kind of personify the common sense approach to the social media world. So we're not doing a lot to get attention on the show. Maybe we should have a big fight or something.
We should have a big fight. Yeah, start being just really combative with each other and our audience. You know, call up people in chat for saying stupid things. Get people angry and calling in.
I don't think I could do that if I tried. I'll leave like spam all over your page and it'll be just wait, Sarah. Watch out, 2012. I'm coming after you.
Social warfare. That's good. Exactly. We can even change the name of the show while we're at it. Just kidding.
Sarah Lane versus Amber Mack. It's starting now.
That's right. The world is ending. Let's go down to the fight. Well, on that note, we can spend the rest of the year pondering what we should do for our social media strategy for the show, because we're at the end of our show. We have finished episode 40, which does mean we are over the hill.
Now. We're over the hill.
Except the nice thing about podcasts is that you don't have to die before you don't really have to die ever. So we can get to 80, then we can get to 120. We can keep going. Keep going.
Keep going. We just did episode 250 of Command N. So
congratulations. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's been a long run. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's fun. You can just we can keep on plowing through, even though there are obviously lots of changes, especially to this show. You know, it's changed a lot over the past few years. But I think we're always kind of on top of what's happening with the web and social world for sure.
Command N started. Command N started quite a while ago. You were one of the first video podcasts that was being uploaded regularly that I was watching. How has that show changed in the last few years? I mean, besides the fact that there are just so many more shows that cover somewhat of the same space.
Yeah, I mean, the first episode we actually did on an iSight camera, and I did all of the editing in iMovie, and that was, it wasn't too great as far as the look and feel of the show, and then we got someone involved who had more experience, and now Chris does the entire show. So as far as how it changed, I mean, like you said, there were not really that many podcasts when podcasting first came out. They were sort of few and far between. There was a few in the tech world, but there weren't that many of us, and so it was phenomenal. It was such a fun time to be doing the show. I mean, we would get 100,000 downloads like on a regular basis, maybe more than that, and a really big audience, and we still have a good solid audience, but obviously there's a lot more competition. And the show has basically been very similar in the sense that we've always shot outside, and I'm always freezing my butt off all winter and then like dying of heat all summer, and it's like really hot and I'm sweating to death, but for some reason we've kept that look and feel to kind of set ourselves apart from some of the other shows that are more sort of green screen based or studio based.
I hope you continue to. Well, I don't want you to freeze or overheat.
It's okay,
but I do like the look of it. It's fun to be out and about. I mean, we have our beautiful studio here that we all love, but field shoots are really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun, and then you just get to. I mean, it's more creative, and you get to go to different places. So I love that, and it's especially in Canada. You know, the weather. You just never know what you're gonna have to endure. But got to keep plowing forward, Sarah.
Absolutely,
keep getting those tickets. No, I just had to bring it up again.
Oh gosh, tickets. CHP. Happy holidays to you. All right. Well, we're definitely at the end of our episode. Thanks so much, Amber, for calling in, Skyping in from Nova Scotia. One day I'll get there. I've always been sort of fascinated with Nova Scotia because it seems, I don't know, exotic and far away. It's not that far away, but, well, from California it is pretty far.
It's pretty far. Yeah, you would have you would be very welcome here, Sarah.
Thank you. As well as
anywhere else in Canada.
I appreciate that. 2011, at least on this show, coming to a close. Next time you see us, it's going to be 2012. Reminder, our regular live time is Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Please join us live if you can, because it's always nice to know that you're watching live and participating in chat and giving us feedback. But of course, if you can't, don't worry. We'd love to have you on demand as well. twit.tv/TSH is where you can find all of our episodes, all of our archives, all of our show notes, all of our subscription links. And of course, you can find our show on iTunes too. All right, that's it. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur.
See you next year on Social Hour. Bye-bye.